If the Rose Bowl is the granddaddy of all bowl games, then ineffective assistance is the granddaddy of post-conviction claims. Squeezing it into 30 minutes is kind of like me trying to fit into my tuxedo these days. It's going to hurt. It probably won't work, but we're going to do the best we can. Let me give you a roadmap of what I want to accomplish, because y'all have had a really heavy day of law, and I provided a paper that is going to have everything you would ever want on ineffective assistance from a law standpoint, and I take no credit for that paper. I have to credit my father, who started putting that paper together probably 35 years ago and updates it annually. It's not proprietary. He'll share it with anyone. So I want to focus today on more practical nuts and bolts. How do you investigate and how do you prosecute an ineffective assistance claim? I think it helps to understand how we even got to this point where IAC has become such a prevalent claim. It helps that we share a common understanding of the applicable legal principles. I want to talk about how I go about investigating claims, with particular emphasis on the hardest part of the investigation, and that is dealing with trial counsel. I'll talk about litigating the claim with some cautionary tales about mistakes that can be made and how to avoid them. I'm going to highlight best practices and potential traps, and I'm going to speak from my personal experiences, some good, many bad. This is an art. It is not a science, and what works for me may not work for you. But experiment, figure it out. Let's start by talking about how we even got to this point. I'm now the third person today who's going to mention this case. I think it's the most important case that explains the landscape of ineffective assistance presently. And that's Marin from 1993, which is not an ineffective assistance case.